Because I had the reading from Mark, but didn't have the reading from Isaiah that I was going to have actually before the songs. So I'll read that now, and then we'll come back to the Mark reading, which I wanted to share a little bit about as well. Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy, and they rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, as warriors rejoiced when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. It almost sounds like you were in a battle there before, Marianne. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If we go back to verse 1, it talks about, but in future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. And it's actually on the Sea of Galilee where that passage from Mark takes place. At the beginning of chapter 4 of Mark, they're out around this area of the sea, and as we go through the chapter, we first of all have the parable of the sower. Then Jesus talks about the purpose of parables. He talks about a lamp under a basket, and that includes being told that we are to use what we have been given. He then has the parable of the seed growing, then the parable of the mustard seed, and then this story of Jesus calming a storm. Last weekend, Judy's brother's actually in Israel at the moment, and he had 3 days off, and so he went to Tiberias on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And until then, I didn't know that it was, and he told us that in an email, it's actually 21 kilometres long and 12 kilometres wide. So having looked at Google Maps, from here out along the Arnhem Highway to Kostka Road is actually only 6 kilometres. From here up to almost Girraween Road around the top of McMinn's Drive is 6 kilometres. It's actually 6 kilometres from here to Riawa. So 21 kilometres by 12 kilometres wide, it's actually quite a big lake. And so they were getting in to go to the other side. Jesus had already been speaking about faith, and this actually shows us that even though he had been speaking about faith and trust and doing what God had said, immediately a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. and they were fearful. As we've already sung, I have found your peace, it replaces any fear. And also from, which was centre of my life, and from Let the Peace of God Reign, O Holy Spirit, you're my comfort. Strengthen me and hold my head up high, and I will stand upon your truth. Unfortunately, at that stage, the disciples couldn't stand on the truth of God. They were still not sure who Jesus was, but we are able to stand upon God's truth and bring glory to him and let the peace of God reign. Unlike the disciples, we actually live between the first and the second coming of Jesus, which is why we not only celebrate the first advent of Jesus coming as a baby in the nativity scenes that we have around, but we're also anticipating that second coming of Jesus. And we're able to anticipate that second coming because of the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us and is able to come and live within us. The Holy Spirit allows us to hold our head up high, to stand upon the truth of God's word, which includes standing not only with those things in the written word, but also with Jesus, who is the living word of God. And that assists us in allowing, as we've already heard from a couple of other people, and I'm sure there are things in our own lives that maybe we haven't wanted to share, that allows us to know that the peace of God is reigning around us and within our lives. And then we look at verse 41. They were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They'd been with Jesus, they'd experienced stuff before, they'd listened to him, and yet still they went to a default position of fear. And one song that regularly comes to my mind is one we sing occasionally here, is "I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God." And it's that peace that comes from God that overrides the fear. Now, this is something from me. I'm not telling you to believe it, but for me, when Jesus said, "Peace, be still," for me, it's almost as if Jesus is speaking not just to me, not just to the waves, but to me as well. That in amongst the things that can happen in life and that we get fearful about, Jesus comes to calm the rough waters. Jesus comes to be with us. Jesus comes to allow us to know that peace. And so it's a reminder to me that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that he is the wonderful counselor, and that he does come and live and walk with us through those tough times. If you've gotten up close to me like Marianne and a couple of others did this morning, I actually had two pieces of skin cut out earlier in the week. Now, I'd had one lump under my eye, which hadn't really done much, and there was one behind my ear that I thought was possibly getting a little bit quicker. Now, I'd already had one behind my ear that ended up being squamous cell carcinoma, an SCC, which is a very quick-growing but not as aggressive cancer as a basal cell carcinoma, BCC, which I've had cut off my chest before. But we'd come back Sunday night, I rang the doctor on Monday, "Oh, you can get in at 12:15 today, okay, I'll be there." So he had a look and thought, well, I'm not really sure what the lump under the eye is, but it's got a keratosis, it's got the hardened skin over the top, so I'll burn it out and I'll burn it very deeply. And I said, "Oh, the other one behind the ear, I'm not sure what that is." And he said, "Oh, it looks like a mole." And then I said, there was one just underneath it that was an SCC that had been cut out. And he said, oh, right, well, we'll cut them out and both of them cut out and make sure that they're all right. Come back at 12:30 tomorrow. I hate injections. I actually tense up. The dentist will tell me, what are you so tense for? And I said, you haven't injected me yet. As well as that, I have a good imagination. So when I know they're going to be cut out, I can imagine what the doctor or the surgeon's going to be doing. And so for me, that was another example this week where I had to trust in God and allow peace be still to be what I was wanting to experience and allow God to experience. The Bible does have many other references of Jesus saying words of peace to people, and especially the disciples. And then there's also the letters of Paul and other things written in Acts. This morning, my devotional reading was from the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. And so that just reinforced me, for me, in my thinking about what I was going to share this morning, is that we have that fullness of Christ. We have been raised with Christ. And so peace be still doesn't have to necessarily be something out there. It's actually something, because we live after the first advent of Jesus, the first coming, we can actually take that on board and have it as the way that we live when any storm comes and in all situations. And as much as we look forward to Jesus returning and bringing a complete rule of peace on earth, he actually has given us the Holy Spirit to be agents of peace as we go about our daily lives. We've heard a couple of people share, and I've had a quick example from my life this week. If there's anybody else that would still like to share, then you can certainly have opportunity to do that now. But whilst we look at the Nativity and we celebrate with everybody else, peace on earth is something that actually we need to live out day by day in our own lives and in the lives of others. It's not just a focus that needs to be there during the Advent season and because of Christ coming at Christmas as a babe to redeem the world.